It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Good afternoon to you. Welcome back. Thank you very much for agreeing to answer our question once again today.
Thank you a lot. Good afternoon too. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. I trust you are well too.
Thank you. You are doing a great job.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Appreciate your kindness. Our question for today, why does an all-powerful God require worship and obedience from humans? I don't know what this person is asking about, and that's why we need you, Mfundisi, because I don't know what relationship there is between obedience by humans and God's power. It's like from the person who's asking the question, he gets his power from obedience and worship. I don't know. How did you understand the question, Pastor?
Okay. The question is very important. And what he's asking is true there in the Bible.
Right, right.
Like in Genesis 22, God instructed Abraham to worship him.
Genesis chapter 22.
22.
Okay.
The whole chapter when you read, like in Exodus chapter 34, verse 14, we see again God instructing the Israelites not to worship other gods but him.
Right.
In John chapter 4, verse 23, Christ said, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." So the question is very important, because he's asking what is written in the Bible.
Right, right.
Yes. Now, but to understand the answer to this question,
before we go to the, let me see if I understand it. So the person is asking whether God is powerful without people. Is that how you understood it? Because I would imagine that this God was powerful before there were people to worship him. So I'm trying to understand, is that the person's assertion that God only gets power from being worshipped?
I think maybe it may be in that context. But another thing I'm seeing, he wants to know why God demands worship.
Okay.
Now, if it is in that context, I don't know, but we'll discover.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay, Pastor, to understand this question, I see it is better first to define what is worship. When we know worship, then we will know why God needs people to worship him.
Okay.
Biblically, the interpretation of the English word worship comes from the translation of the Hebrew term shakar and abad.
Okay.
Now, this shakar, it is written about 172 occurrences in the Old Testament. And the meaning of that word may be translated to bow, to give reverence, bending down in paying homage to another person. Then this another term, it is written about 289 in the Old Testament, translated to worship, to work, or to serve someone. So personally, I see that the significance is the act of putting oneself below the other person out of honor or respect. In another way, the same question, it's like a person or a child asking his father or his mother, "Father, why do you demand respect from me?" I want to understand it in that context. And why do you need me to respect you every day and every night? I think it's the same question, similar. So God, the first, let me answer why now he demands worship.
Are you still there, Pastor?
Yes.
Okay, you got cut there just when you said, "Let me explain why he demands worship." Go ahead, Pastor, from there.
Okay. Why he demands worship from people? The first thing, God always desires to bring his people to himself. And worship provides the platform of bringing people to himself. We see this in Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, where God said, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." And the major thing we are seeing in the sanctuary is worship. And one thing that we are doing in the sanctuary is where a human being comes with a lamp and then dedicate the lamp after doing every rituals. The lamp symbolizes Jesus Christ. So now for their sins to be forgiven, they needed to worship God through the lamp. And the major thing we are seeing on the lamp, it's not really about the lamp. It's about the person who is bringing the lamp, recognizing his unworthiness to the Lord. Or recognizing how sinful he is before the Lord. And now he needs this who is righteousness to forgive him. Now, it's a period where members of the church comes to the Lord with their burdens. And then they surrender their burdens, their sins to the Lord. I think that is the major part of worship, where a human being recognizes how great God is. Then he commits his sins and surrenders everything to the Lord. There is something that Amos wrote in Amos 5, verse 21, verse 23.
Forgive me, Pastor, for interjecting again. And I just need you to help me understand. You said at the sanctuary, they were worshiping. Who is they?
God. They're worshiping God.
Who is they? When you're saying they were worshiping God, who is they?
These are the Israelites.
How did they worship, Pastor?
How they were worshiping God.
Yes, how did they worship?
Okay, I said that the major thing that was happening in the sanctuary is worship.
By whom?
People were worshiping God.
Now, the reason why I'm asking this question, Pastor, is because to worship is to work or to serve or to till, to enslave, to do something that is going to be in subjection to that which you're worshiping. Now, the people didn't do anything. They simply brought their animals there. They did not do any work. The only people that were doing work, that were serving at the sanctuary, those were priests, isn't it, Pastor?
No, the first term of Shaka, it says to give reverence.
Yeah, people never did any of that. People didn't give reverence. They simply brought their offerings.
Why they brought their offerings?
Because they wanted something. It was a transaction, Pastor. They wanted forgiveness. They wanted to give thanks and whatever. They wanted something.
Yeah, that's something they wanted. The major thing we are seeing in the sanctuary is about forgiveness. People were bringing the lambs. They wanted God to forgive them. And you cannot want for forgiveness from someone without recognizing your wrongs. So they recognized how sinful they are.
How did they worship? That's what I'm asking, Pastor. How did they worship? Because simply put, what the Israelites did was to go find an animal and bring it. That's it. There is nothing else that they would do. Everything else that can be categorized as worship was done by the priests. And my question is, how do you bring an animal and you call that worship? There was nothing. Okay. They did nothing, or did they? Is there something that the Israelites themselves did outside just bringing an animal?
The first thing that we are doing, the first major thing, actually, it is the sinner to recognize his sinful.
That's an assumption that would be made there, Pastor. Remember, even on the Day of Atonement, the high priest was required to wear a bell around his waist and a rope to pull him out just in case there is somebody who brought an animal but did not recognize and admit and confess their sin. So the confession of sin and recognition of their wrong was not a foregone conclusion. God knew that there would be some liars there who would pretend to have been repentant but did not. So that was on worship still. That's what we see even today. We go to our churches faking worship, pretending to be worshiping, and yet we know that we're going to lie, cheat, steal, and sleep with people's spouses. We're going to steal from the church, tithe the money, and the list goes on. But still we go to church. So what was happening there is still happening now. I shudder to imagine, how is that worship?
Actually, that's what I want now to talk in Amos 5, verse 21 to 23, okay, where Amos says, I hate, I despise, this is God, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Thou ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace of offerings of your fat beast. 23, take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear. Now, just from this, the context of this verse, this is God who doesn't need worship from outside myself.
Right.
He needs worship that comes deep from my mind.
Right.
I make surrender deep from my heart. So that is even the worship God needed in the sanctuary.
Absolutely.
It's not just a person who comes and bringing a lamp, then it ends from there. That's not worship.
Right, right.
The all worship should come from myself.
Lovely, lovely. So
sometimes, you know, we go, I've attended in some worships where you see a person begins to sing a song, singing, shouting,
right,
and they goes home and says, we have enjoyed today.
Right, right.
A person is preaching, just shouting, today I've preached. That is not worship at all.
Yeah.
That's why Christ said, the time shall come when people shall worship my Father in truth and in spirit.
Absolutely.
So worshiping, it's all about my relationship with my God.
Now, forgive me, I want to bring you back to the question then. Now that we have been able to define what true worship is supposed to look like, the question now that the person has sent says, why does an all-powerful God require that worship and obedience from humans? Why? Obedience. Why does he need it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the first thing, he needs us to be very close to him.
Okay.
He keeps on calling us. You know, sometimes we go astray and then God keeps on calling us. I think you remember when Christ talked about the parable of a sheep that got lost from the 100 sheep, and then one got lost, and the owner went to look for one that got lost in the bushes and brought that sheep to himself. Why? He was concerned about just one sheep instead of taking care of the 99. So in another way, God loves us and worship brings us very close to him.
Yes. So this still begs the question, Pastor. He's a loving God. It's a beautiful thing. He seeks those that are lost. But why does he need worship?
He is the creator of all things, including every person. Now, worshiping God, I'm saying that we worship God. Another way, he is our creator.
Right.
But worshiping God doesn't make him to become a creator.
Mm.
He is already great. When we worship God, we just recognize his creative power, thanksgiving, praising him for what he has done for us.
So he needs our recognition?
He needs, actually, yes, it's important. For example, like...
It seems he has very low self-esteem. Surely a god that needs humans in order for him to feel powerful, that's very poor, poor self-esteem. We're trying to discourage our children from needing people validating them. We have a problem today, Pastor, of our children... Are young people who are going to post things on social media just so they can get likes, just so they can get validation from people in social media. We're discouraging that from our children. And now you're saying this God that we're worshiping wants our validation? What happens when we don't give validation? Why would an all-powerful God need human validation? Human beings are fallible. They're weak. They're foolish. Why would I want a fool's validation?
Actually, it's not like a person who is on social media looking for famous. Whereby when 10 people likes his post, then he gets something from that.
So why
when
does
two
he need
people,
worship
20 then? People, 30 people fails to recognize him, then he loses the power.
Right. So why does God want that God. Worship then? Why does God, God want our recognition?
Even when we do not worship God, God still remains God.
So why does he need worship then?
Still remain famous.
Yeah.
Why does he need worship right. from us?
Right.
The major point is just recognizing his creative power. It's for example, I'm giving something to my child.
Right.
I buy a vehicle for my child. Then my child receives the vehicle and goes away.
Mm.
Without even saying, thank you, my father. Then tomorrow you buy for him again something. And then said, it's just God, without even appreciating your power.
Mm.
The appreciation comes when you recognize how great the person who has given you something is. Actually, when we recognize God by praising him, worshiping him, we just appreciate for what he has done for us.
So
not making him to become famous, not that.
Is that the reason why he kills people at the Red Sea, through the flood, through the burnings of Sodom and Gomorrah, opening the earth to swallow those that don't worship him? Is that why he kills people, because they don't worship him? Is that it?
No. Actually, it's not like that. When we see on the Red Sea, when he killed the Egyptians, he did that in protecting this group of Israelites.
Sure, that could be a fair enough reason, but we know for a fact that the Egyptians were not following God's will. God's will was for the Israelites to escape, and the Israelites were not escaping because the Egyptians were closing in. So God swallowed them up and drowned that army alive. I need to understand. Surely it would be reasonable for a person who reads that text to deduce, therefore, that because they did not follow God's will, God decided to kill them, to drown the entire army alive.
God is the God of the second chance.
Which chance did they have? They never got the second chance. They drowned at the Red Sea.
Okay. When you read the story of Egyptians,
right,
it begins with Moses going there to request for the Israelites.
Right.
And he performed a lot of things, miracles and whatever.
Right.
But
right.
the Egyptians refused to accept until they even followed them.
Mm.
That's why we see the destruction. You know, okay. even on the day of judgment, God doesn't want everyone, he doesn't want us to die someday or to find ourselves in
right,
hellfire.
Right.
That's why he's trying all the ways to bring us. Mm. When I sin today, he will give me another chance.
Yeah.
I sin tomorrow, he will give me another chance. We will die because we do not want to change ourselves.
Mm.
But immediately when we change, God is faithful to forgive us.
Yeah. You
know, sometimes that's why when you read in the Bible, we find a lot of prostitutes who were forgiven. because he's God of the second chance.
Right.
When we talk about Paul, he killed a lot of people.
Right.
And God did not condemn him to the point, Paul, he was changed.
Okay.
So there is no one who is beyond the redemption on the earth.
Right.
No one at all.
Right.
God, he gives a chance. Until on that day when he shall close the probation period.
Yeah.
So even the Egyptians, they were given time. There's no one who should say, no, I don't worship God. Then that's why I'm suffering. Maybe God will kill me. God will not kill us because we don't worship him.
Well, isn't that what is said by Deuteronomy, Pastor? Deuteronomy 28 gives blessings if you obey and curses if you disobey, isn't it?
Okay, when you obey, you'll be cursed. Okay, you know, that is one of the things, though that's another topic again.
Well, I'm simply pointing that out, that this is a God who, if you obey him, he will bless you. He gives you all the blessings. But if you disobey him, he will curse you. And one of the curses that hit home and hard is how these pregnant women will be ravaged and torn apart, and another man will sleep with your wife while you're watching. All these evil things like are done by these terrorist groups. It's barbaric, and yet we're saying he doesn't need worship. Apparently he needs worship, and if we don't worship, he kills us.
Actually, definitely, like what I've said, he doesn't kill us there and then. But those who are doing all these sins and what, that's why you're surprised that a person commits sin today, tomorrow you still survive him.
So I was hoping
he steals, he do all those things,
right.
But a person is still living, enjoying life.
Yeah.
You know, that is one of the things that brought the problem during the time when Christ came on the earth.
So that's why I was asking, Pastor, just for you to clarify, if you're saying that is the case, then Deuteronomy chapter 28, from verse 15, these are curses. From verse 15, God is pronouncing curses on those who do not or will not obey him, who will not worship him. And by the look at of things, God only blesses for 15 verses. And then from verse 16 up until verse 68, God is pronouncing curses. So there appears to be more curses than blessings with this God if you don't worship him. This person perhaps who's asking this question is probably afraid of these things. Why does an all-powerful God require worship and obedience? And this Bible, this version says, if you disobey him, if you don't obey him, he'll kill you. Just clarify that and then I'll let you be, Pastor.
Okay, definitely there are blessings in obedience. But these verses, if you fail to understand them, actually they brought a problem to the Jews. Jews thought when you are suffering, then you have rebelled before the Lord. Then Christ said, it's not like that. I don't know if you get it in that context. The same God, he reigns the reins in the feuds of who? The witches. Of people who kills others, who commit all kind of sins. The same blessings again, God, he blesses even sinners by giving him life. Life is also a blessing. He continues embracing even those who doesn't even worship him. So when we get that verse, and when we compare with that other verses, there's no contradictions. The verse is just tells us that there are blessings when we obey God, and there is a case when we disobey God. But it doesn't disqualify that God doesn't bless those who are in sin, because they have life. If God wanted to destroy them, he would have just removed their life. He would have removed his life from them and they would have died already.
Okay.
He would have stopped raining the rains in the fields of sinners, but he keeps on. So this shows that God, he loves everyone.
Okay.
And he cares. Let me finish with one thing. Worshipping involves obedience, just like what, according to the answer. One of the ways why worshipping God is obedience, the reason of obedience is worshipping is because we are proclaiming the supremacy of God when we listen to him instead of others. When we obey God, we recognize his supremacy. We recognize that he is God who created us. It's like just what you have said. Here is you have married a wife, then that woman comes in and bring another man and sleeps with him on the same bed that you bought. How will you feel? Definitely that is bad, and definitely that is not obedience. Now, when God demands obedience from from us, it is just, he wants us to recognize his supremacy.
Okay. All right. Let's leave it there, Mpundisi. Thank you very much for your answer. We have one more answer tomorrow, and we're looking forward to your answer. Thank you very much, Mpundisi. Have a wonderful day further.
Thank you. Good day. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Pastor. That's our pastor for Ask a Pastor, Joseph Kalimwe, answering a question. Why does an all-powerful God require worship and obedience from humans?